recognizing EMS heroes, raising public awareness of cardiac arrest, training junior responders, and we'll interview EMS author Kevin Grange about his book on going through paramedic school, Lights and Sirens, The Education of a Paramedic. If that's what you're looking for, you found it right here on this week's episode of The Medic Cast.
Transmitters? We don't need no stinking transmitters!
This is The Medicast, a podcast for EMS providers by EMS providers, featuring EMS news, products, tips, tricks, and commentary. So grab your gear and glove up. Here's today's show with the pod medic, Jamie Davis.
Well, good day and welcome to this week's episode of The Medic Cast. I'm your host, Jamie Davis, the pod medic, and it's great to have you all joining me here this week. I'd like to welcome you to the show. In this week's EMS news items, we're going to be looking at an alarming study that says that public awareness of cardiac arrest is just way too low. What can we do to raise awareness of this public health emergency? We'll figure that out later. Then in this week's special author interview, I interview paramedic and author Kevin Grange about his book, Lights and Sirens, The Education of a Paramedic. Kevin went through the prestigious UCLA paramedic program and writes about his lessons learned and the way he applies the medical program information that was taught there. What can you do to apply the lessons he learned in your own EMS practice? We'll find out later on in the show, coming up after the news. Before we get to that, though, I do want to make sure that you are checking out the links and additional information available for you all over at the MedicCast blog at mediccast.com/blog. There's a show notes link at the top of the page. You can click that link and it'll take you right to the most recent episode. And of course, you can scroll down there and find previous episodes as well. There's also a search box on the site in the upper right-hand corner. If you're looking for something in particular, put the search terms in there. But take some time and make sure you follow up on the information you get in the show each week so that you understand how it applies or doesn't apply to your own EMS practice and protocols. If you want to get back in touch with me, I hope you'll do so. You can always email me directly at podmedic@mac.com. Shoot me an email with your comments and questions on the episodes, or maybe you have a suggestion or an idea for a future episode. Either way, I love to hear from you. I work hard to respond back to all the emails that come in, and I'll get back to your email as well, so please keep those emails coming. Also, I'll be recording interviews in the physio control booth at EMS Today at the end of this month, and I want to have you come by and say hello. So check out the amazing things in the physio control booth while you're there, and then come by and see me in between interviews I'm doing. I'd love to meet you. That's it for contact information. Let's go ahead and get on into the rest of this show. It's coming up in just a sec. Kicking off our news for EMS providers this week is a look at what one Texas town is doing to honor their first responders and teach kids how to avoid using drugs at the same time. It's a great example of using your resources in creative ways to build awareness and education in your community. In Greenville, Texas, the local high school is holding a drug-free Greenville Night event where they're going to be inviting local first responders to the school to meet with kids and interact with them while giving the message of staying drug-free. The police, fire, EMS, and even the dispatchers of the local 911 system all will be on hand. They're going to have their own trading cards that can be collected and used to play a bingo-style game to win prizes. The main prize is to attend a special luncheon with their first responder heroes at a local event center. This is a great look at how one system is using their own street cred with local high school students to teach them about drug prevention and awareness while having some fun at the same time. It shows how you need to think outside of the box when looking at how to implement your own drug and disease prevention and awareness programs in your community. What kinds of things do you think you can come up with to do something similar to what they're doing in Greenville? Maybe you're already doing something new and creative. If so, I want to know about it, so shoot me an email or leave a comment here on this article at mediccast.com/blog, and I'll look forward to hearing about it and maybe covering your event here on the show. Hopefully you all blow me away with your inventive programs for public awareness. I'll be waiting. Next up in our EMS news this week is a look at how public perception is affecting responses to sudden cardiac arrest outside of the hospital. The Sudden Cardiac Arrest Foundation has conducted a national baseline study to determine the extent to which the public is aware or not aware of sudden cardiac arrest, CPR, and the use of automated external defibrillators, or AEDs. They examined past studies and then conducted their new one with a randomized survey of 1,000 U.S. citizens from all over, and then looked at 200 people specifically from King County, Washington. Now, the second group was chosen because of the great efforts they're putting in place there to raise public awareness about cardiac arrest, to increase CPR training and use of AEDs. What they found was that although sudden cardiac arrest is the third leading cause of death in the U.S., most people don't seem to care that much about it or know much about the subject. The survey also identified top barriers to bystander CPR, including a desire not to hurt the patient, lack of confidence in your skills, and liability issues. These all point to how we need to increase our public education efforts on the part of healthcare and public health industries. We need to be those paramedics that teach the classes to the public and enable them and encourage them to use their skills when they encounter a patient in cardiac arrest. So talk to your patients about CPR. Talk to new parents about CPR. Talk to family members of people that have had recent heart attacks about CPR. Be proactive. Reach out to your community leaders. Teach them about this study and encourage them to work with your own agency or public health service to improve CPR class uptake and public education. You know, if we don't get the bystanders educated, then cardiac arrest is just going to remain a huge public health problem. Finally, in our last EMS news story for paramedics and EMTs this week, let's take a look at one of the New Jersey systems out there and what they're doing to encourage the next generation of first responders. In Freehold, New Jersey, the First Aid and Emergency Squad had a disaster preparedness expo recently where they brought in junior members of area first aid squads and fire departments so that they could educate them about the resources and response capabilities of local and state disaster programs. The teams visited the 911 call centers, the sheriff's offices, and then a local school parking lot where state response vehicles were assembled to demonstrate how a disaster response is coordinated with local and state officials. Now, this is a great program, and it's one I think that would be useful for more than just local junior responders and cadet members. I know I would like to know more about how state disaster response is coordinated. How about you? This type of expo is a perfect way also to engage the public at large about what we do and how we do it. Now, this event in New Jersey was held last month, just before the most recent nor'easter storm that caused significant coastal flooding there in the shore towns. Some of the state and local disaster resources these kids saw were used to respond to that weather event during the storm and the blizzard that dumped up to 2.5 feet of snow on the area, while driving storm surge waves up into coastal towns, causing unprecedented and in some cases record-setting flooding. I think you should probably hold these types of events yourself, maybe to talk about preparedness, not only with your responders and your cadets, but also the public. This is one particularly timely situation that happened in New Jersey because the storm came a few weeks later, and the attendees already had a good idea of what was going on when the response happened. It's proof that you can make use of your resources more frequently to educate and prepare people for disasters that might just be around the corner. Kevin Grange is an award-winning freelance writer with an emphasis on the medical field. He also covers adventure and travel. I interviewed Kevin about his new memoir, Lights and Sirens, The Education of a Paramedic. Lights and Sirens is a true account of his going through the UCLA program for paramedics, the Daniel Freeman Paramedic Program. And he practices emergency medicine there for a few years on the streets of Los Angeles. I talk with Kevin about the lessons he learned in school and why he chose to write a book about these experiences in this premier paramedic education program at UCLA. Check it out with this interview coming up with Kevin in just a sec. Hi, Kevin. Welcome to the MedicCast. It's great to have you here on the show. I love interviewing EMS authors.
Hey, Jamie. It's great to be here, and you know, I'm honored to be on your show, and I really look forward to today's podcast.
Well, we're going to talk a little bit about your book, and first of all, why don't you just tell us a little bit about your background in general?
Sure. I was raised in New Hampshire and went to college in Seattle. After that, I worked in real estate for a bit, but just kind of discovered my heart really wasn't into it. I'd always had an interest in EMS. And so, you know, I took a wilderness first aid class, just fell in love with that, became an EMT, worked as a medical assistant for a while, worked at a ski area. And then, you know, the more I learned about it, the more I fell in love with it, just based on, you know, mainly the people I met, the people I worked with, the people I treated. So eventually I went to paramedic school at UCLA, which was a wonderful experience. Yeah, and then after that, I worked in LA for a bit and then got hired with the National Park Service. So I worked at Yellowstone and Yosemite. And then recently I just accepted a firefighter paramedic position with Jackson Hole Fire and EMS.
Which is fantastic, and I'm sure you're going to have see a lot of interesting things there because of just the rural nature and the long transport times for things, you know, to get to any kind of major specialty center. You have everything going out by air almost all the time, I would imagine, from that location.
We do. There's a wonderful local hospital. They do a great job. It's not a level one trauma center, so as you mentioned, we do end up flying out a lot of our, you know, more serious traumas or cardiac patients. However, the weather out here is always changing, so a lot of times you can't fly, which means we're taking them by ground, you know, 2 hours to the level one trauma center. So that's always interesting and eventful.
Yeah, I'll bet. I'll bet. So let's talk a little bit about your book. One of the things I really like about it, and people I think are really going to enjoy, is a lot of books written by EMS providers out there are the standard, this is my story, let me give you some details of you know, the crazy calls I've been on. And it's just, you know, it's scenarios of the types of things they ran into in the field. Interesting stories, the anecdotes that every medic loves to sit around and talk about with their buddies as they swap stories. Yours is different in that it really details the look at why you wanted to become a paramedic and then follows you through a very grueling and highly educational program at UCLA. You know, really one of the schools that sets the standard for paramedic education and has for years, and follows you through your training and your education to become a paramedic. And I really like the different look at the field. It really gives people an understanding of the professionalism required, of the dedication required to become a student in this field.
Definitely. My inspiration for the book was just, you know, the people I work with, my, you know, fellow EMTs, fellow paramedic students, and my instructors. So I really wrote this book to celebrate that experience along with, you know, all the EMTs and paramedics across the country. And I just wanted to give, you know, the public an inside glimpse into the rigorous training that we get. And just, like you say, all the challenges, you know, starting that first IV, getting that first intubation tube. So the book is, you know, not written from a point of expertise, but from a point of experience and, you know, just sharing that experience. So, you know, I've gotten a lot of very nice emails from readers that just say, hey, you know, finally someone has, you know, put out there what it's like. And, you know, thank you for just sharing that experience. So, you know, I was honored to write it and I'm very grateful for everyone who reads it.
And it's a great read, and I really enjoy it. And, you know, it's broken down into sections. It has sections on classroom, your clinical rotations, your time in the field where you were precepted by other paramedics. And I really like that, you know, you kind of give a little taste of all the three aspects of EMS education, because there is lecture. And we have some great lecturers out there, and you talk about some of your experiences. Tell us about your instructors at UCLA, because you really give a good flavor of how good they are.
Yes, basically the UCLA program, Dr. Baxter Larman, he's sort of the chairman of the Center for Pre-Hospital Care. And, you know, he's been just a force in the EMS world for, you know, many years now. Heather Davis is program director. She, you know, comes originally from Colorado, and then she worked with, I believe, LA County Fire, handling all their training. So she would lecture on occasion. Our main lecturer was a gentleman by the name of Brian Wheeler, who was a former paramedic, former flight paramedic. And he was just you know, such a great instructor in that he had the knowledge, but he also, you know, imbued every lesson with a great sense of humor. And he wasn't afraid to kind of, you know, reveal his emotional side as far as, you know, that, hey, when you're treating these patients, it affects you emotionally. And I think he gave us the courage to care for our patients as far as providers. You know, we do, you know, heroic things on calls, but at the end of the day, we're all human. And so I think he really taught us that compassion that's necessary to be a great, you know, EMT or a great paramedic.
I like the way you say that because, you know, there's lots of programs that turn out good providers, but I really agree with you that to be great as an EMS provider, you really need to bring that caring aspect into it. And I think so often people get into this because of the adrenaline junkie attitude. And I certainly have had that aspect as part of my drive to become a paramedic back in the day. But ultimately, it became the patients that really drew me in to stay into EMS and to go on eventually and get my nursing degree, because I really wanted to learn more about these patients and I really cared about them and was intrigued to hear their stories. And I think that that's something that you relay in the book a little bit is the kind of that compassionate care that you were taught. And I think that's something we need to teach to paramedic students.
I agree. And then my captain with the LA City Fire Department, he would always just tell me, hey, this job is about talking to people. Mm-hmm. And when you have that attitude, you know, the same attitude you're describing, you don't really care if it's a BLS call or an ALS call, because every call is a chance to help someone. And it's a chance to meet someone, you know, to hear their story, to make that connection. So I find when I have that perspective, I enjoy every call. It's not about what interventions I can do to the patient, you know, IV, intubation. It's all about just how I can help them. And, you know, I've made a lot of great friends as far as my coworkers, but also my patients. So that's really where the, you know, joy and satisfaction comes in as a paramedic.
Absolutely. So tell us a little bit about some of the things, maybe the top three things you might relay to a new paramedic student. We have a lot of students that check out the MedicCast that listen to the show each week. And what are some of the things you might tell a new paramedic student if they were to say to you, hey, I'm getting ready to start paramedic school. What do I need to know? What's that advice?
I think the first advice is basically you're not alone. And so I say that meaning that paramedic school was the toughest thing I've ever done. But, you know, for the new students, you're not alone in feeling overwhelmed and feeling challenged and, you know, maybe missing that IV or not visualizing the vocal cords. So I think when you start, you might have this feeling that, hey, I'm all alone. I don't know if I can do this. And so I would just tell these students, hey, we've all been there. We're all rooting for you. You can get it through it. We got through it. So, you know, we're all just kind of one big family. So I think that's important to understand. And, you know, hopefully my book kind of expresses that to people.
I definitely think it does and, you know, shares that. Anything else?
Yeah, definitely. I would say control what you can control. So by that I mean is, you know, put the hours in studying, know your medications, know your protocols. You know, control the scene as best you can. Maybe it's moving furniture, maybe it's turning on some lights. Because a lot of this job we can't control, you know, patient complaint, just the situation. So I find if you can control everything that's in your power to control, then the calls tend to go better. Whereas if you don't know your medications, you don't know your protocols, then you're kind of, you have loose footing on both the scene, but then also both the knowledge base. So it doesn't really work. But if you can take care of what you need to take care of and know what you need to know, you have that solid foundation going into the calls. So that's probably the second point I would say.
And the third, do you have a third point?
The third point, it's one of the themes in my book, which is the best way out is through. So that was sort of a saying that was posted in UCLA in the hallways. And at first I kind of thought it was like a physical description, you know, meaning we have to just go through these rooms to pass paramedic school. We got to go through the living rooms of the patients we treat. But it came to have more of a philosophical meaning for me, meaning whatever challenge presents itself on a call, in class, you can't go around it, you can't go above it, you can't go below it. You got to sort of acknowledge it, embrace it, and move through it. And I found when you do that, you get a, you know, you access an inner source of strength that you might not know you had, and you can really, you know, be your best to help the patients and, you know, be a great part of your crew.
Yeah, you know, it's something I've found, and I think you'll find as your career progresses, that if you haven't already, that it is that those moments when you have to dig the deepest are the moments that you carry with you longest through your service and teach you the biggest lessons. You know, we aren't going to know everything every time. Even if we know our knowledge, even if we are solid on our protocols and our medications, we're going to run into things that we don't expect. And it is those moments when you can have to dig deep and find a solution to an unusual situation that really, I think, separates you know, paramedics from, you know, the average Joe to somebody who can just do this job and do it really, really well. That's been my impression anyway.
No, I definitely agree. I think, you know, if I was to have a heart attack on the street, I know I'd want a paramedic or an EMT responding instead of, you know, a doctor, just because we've, you know, they might have more knowledge, but I think we're just so resourceful and we run, you know, a lot of the EMS calls. So, you know, I just think, like you said, just that ability to be resourceful and get the job done no matter what it takes is just a great trait to have.
Absolutely, absolutely. So the book is called Lights and Sirens by Kevin Grange. Kevin, where can people find it? I know it's out on the veil. I know I got it as an ebook from Amazon, but you got it anywhere else, or can they get it as a physical book as well?
Definitely. You can actually buy it on Amazon, and I noticed that your book and my book are frequently paired together. So I thought that was, you know, it's kind of nice. You can buy both books and you can get, I think, a reduced price when you buy them together. So along with Amazon, a lot of bookstores have it. Barnes & Noble has been, you know, gracious about stocking the book. And then, as you say, it's available as an ebook and also as an audiobook that just came out about probably a month ago. And the narrator does a great job. So, you know, I used to work for an ambulance where we'd post, you know, for sometimes 3-4 hours at a time in between calls, just sitting in the ambulance. So, you know, that'd be a great time if you like audiobooks, just to put it on and, you know, listen to it while you're posting there.
Excellent. Well, I'll make sure I have links to all of those in the show notes for this episode so people can find them and get the book in whatever format they want to get it. And, you know, Kevin, you got a plan for another book in you? Is there something else lurking in there?
You know, I'd love to write another book, and I think right now I'm looking to tell someone else's story. So I've sort of been, you know, investigating the pararescue community. You know, I'm really intrigued and inspired by, you know, the pararescue group. Those are the guys that sort of go in and rescue the Navy SEALs when they're injured. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking there, and then just, you know, kind of local fire departments, you know, maybe tell a story that's based in the fire service. Nothing concrete. But I'm always out there looking, and primarily I'm always out there inspired by, you know, America's first responders who are doing great work every day.
Well, that's great. Well, so folks, Lights and Sirens, get it now and check out Kevin's story of his journey through paramedic school. And that way you'll be ready for the next book whenever it comes out, Kevin. And we'll look forward to having you back on the show when you get that together in some future moment.
Thank you, Jamie. It's been great to be on the show today, and you know, I really appreciate you inviting me in.
That's going to wrap up this week's episode of the MedicCast. I want to thank all of you for checking out the show this week, and of course, remind you to follow up on all of the information you get in this week's show over at the MedicCast blog. That's at mediccast.com/blog. Over there, you'll find a show notes link at the top of the page. Go ahead and take a moment and follow up on all of the information and links to news items and more you find there each week. You can also sign up for our email newsletter that'll bring you those links directly into your email inbox each week if you want. There's a form on the right-hand side of the page. Just go ahead and fill that out, and you can get the MedicCast newsletter for yourself. I also welcome your comments and suggestions by email. So if you want to get back in touch with me, shoot me an email to podmedic@mac.com. Send in your ideas for news links, ideas for future show topics or interviews, whatever comments you might have. I really do look forward to hearing from you, and I'll make sure I get back to you. I work hard to respond back to every email that comes in, so please keep those emails coming. If you want to catch up with me on social media and some of the pages and sites out there, you can find me at most places under the handle Podmedic. So you can catch me over at Twitter at twitter.com/podmedic or Facebook at facebook.com/podmedic. Friend or follow me over there. Also, don't forget to check out our MedicCast Facebook page. We now have over 5,000 followers, so head over to facebook.com/medicCast. Click the like button on the top of the page and join the community over there. That's going to wrap up this week's episode of the MedicCast. Please make sure you spread the word and share the MedicCast with your colleagues and students and friends in the EMS world. I'll be back here each week with new episodes, new interviews, news items, tips, and more every Monday morning to start off your EMS week. Tell somebody else about the MedicCast today. I'm Jamie Davis, the Pod Medic. It's time to close out the show. Don't forget to thank our sponsors, and remember, folks, Scene Safety, BSI.